Yep, Gritty and the Fanatic passing that hot dog back and forth forever. Oh, that's the sound. That's the sound.
That's exactly the sound.
Oh, it's so deep. Oh, is that a foot long?
With them, for Gritty, sure.
And Gritty kind of chokes on it a little because of his gag reflex.
Yeah. Me and my friends were kind of thinking that that was just kind of a byproduct of the...
He just secretes hot dogs through his...
Yeah, it's not just a mouth.
It's definitely like a nozzle.
Well, yeah. the Fanatic definitely is. And then weaponized it in the war against fascists. He's got a hot dog cannon.
That's true. Oh, I see. I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you take your urine and froze it and then threw it and made snowballs out of it and threw it at fascists. Be like that. Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that these mascots, all the byproduct of all of them is they produce more and more hot dogs. And there was just like the baseball companies were so like they had no idea what to do with all of these excess hot dogs, and that's why they started selling them at the park.
Is this your movie this week, Seth?
Oh my god, I love this shit.
It all makes sense, and there's things about how they're allergic to popcorn, and that's why they also serve popcorn, because that's what keeps them in the field.
Oh. It's the force field that keeps them contained.
So are it's the true, fascists that right? Gritty fights against the owners of the sports team that he ostensibly works for?
That kind of works, yeah.
I mean, entirely possible, but...
I mean, if you know anything about stadium financing and the kinds of taxes that sports teams pay in this country.
Yeah.
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 It's gross.
I bet Gritty's mad that Philadelphia just paid off Three River Stadium about 2 years ago. You know, the stadium they tore down in 2001.
Oh, you mean boy. Pittsburgh?
Not Three Rivers, Veterans.
Oh, the Veterans. Yeah. I was like, why is Philly paying off Pittsburgh?
No, they finished paying off the vet
socialism
in like 1999 or 2000, and or they tore it down then, and they finished paying it off like 2 years ago.
That's insane.
It was built in the early 70s.
Fuck. Wow. I thought that all had to be, well, I guess, no, it wouldn't all be bought and paid for. But, like, famously, they build them where they can get huge tax breaks and, like, actual
tax
money,
that's what I mean.
Money,
it was
right?
The city of Philadelphia was paying it. The teams weren't paying anything.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. They're paying for the honor of holding the home of
Well, whatever. Nowadays, the way the fucking stadium con works is you pay for the honor of letting the stadium collect all the parking fees and charge rental fees to the people who put stores in the stadium complex, except no one puts stores in the stadium complex because no one goes to the fucking games, and no one parks there because it costs too much to park, like
certainly.
You know, but I feel like there's something new about the Philadelphia Flyers that would make me want to attend a game for once.
Infinite
dogs back and forth.
Back and forth
that
forever.
Gritty. Oh, that nightmare god Gritty, who is the physical manifestation of chaos that I love in my heart of hearts.
I like this take on Gritty more than what I was going to propose, which is I really hope that the Philly Fanatic isn't like grooming Gritty. Like that he's not a young boy.
No, that's gross. My version is way better. Gritty is older than time. Okay. Gritty is older than consciousness. he is here with humans to help us understand the pure, you know, chaos nightmare magic of the universe that he is beyond.
So do you think Gritty created the Philly Fanatic and like just plopped him down into history so when he arrived he would be ready for him?
Seems likely.
He's with like, hot dog secretions.
Yeah. It seems to me clearly that the Fanatic is a herald of Gritty.
Oh, like the Silver Surfer.
Much like the Silver Surfer or Hastur, the Lovecrafty god
It's quite a lore. Wow.
Oh yeah,
how do we work Steve Zahn into this?
How do we work what? Oh, Steve Zahn.
Well, if Gritty is like... pure chaos incarnate, then Steve Zahn is the light at the, you know, I mean, they're diametrically opposed, I would imagine, right?
They don't have to. No, but I don't think opposed.
I don't think that they're foes. I think that they're
they work in balance.
Yeah, they're two cosmic entities that are not really battling so much as coexisting and not existing simultaneously.
Sure.
Whoa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow. Well, we solved it. Great job, team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
That's our new religion.
As above is below.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's Gritty all the way down.
It's Gritty's all the way down.
Take that, Terry Pratchett, dead motherfucker. I don't know if that's how you pronounce his name or Pratchett. If he's dead.
It's Pratchett. It's Pratchett. Okay. And he is definitely dead.
Okay. I think he was notably a pretty okay dude, though.
Yeah, I heard he was. Yeah.
he was indeed.
Unlike other science fiction writers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Orson Scott Card.
That's the one I had in mind, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Did I ever tell you guys a story about when I was a freshman in college at my second college? So the first college that I attended for more than a day.
Uh-huh. Sure.
I was just getting some, like, I knew I was going to transfer, so I was getting some, like, core classes out.
Yeah.
Smart.
And I was taking a music appreciation course, and our professor famously... was a, like, really, he claimed to know who Elvis was, but have never listened to a piece of music, purposefully listened to a piece of music created after, like, 1910 or something.
Physically impossible. Like,
yeah,
it exists in the world. What are you talking about?
Purposefully. He'd never purposefully. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. You hear it everywhere.
He spent several years of his life, like, being a street musician in Paris where he just played harpsichord in front of a cafe. Like,
how the fuck did he get, like, a mobile harpsichord? Jesus.
I don't think it was mobile, but anyway.
Where the fuck did he get, like, access to a harpsichord where he could, like, it was in front of a cafe? That's insane.
Well, one of the crazy things I learned about harpsichords is we only kind of know what they sounded like, so we're not exactly sure.
Whoa.
Hey.
All right.
You want to know something else crazy about harpsichords?
Hmm.
When my father was working on the farm that he grew up on, and it was wintertime, so there was nothing to do, and he said he was bored, his mother said, build something. And you know what he built? A goddamn harpsichord.
A working harpsichord.
That is currently still in my parents' house.
That's insanity. Yeah. Where do you find plans for a harpsichord in insert flyover state?
Well, he grew up near a pretty large...
university.
No, nowhere near any universities. It's a good 200-300 miles to the nearest university there. Oh. He lived in the middle of nowhere, flyover state. And he did live near a large expat German community, mostly that had been moved around and shifted during World War II and relocated because, of course, we have always been a garbage country that... did that internment camps to our own citizens.
Yep.
But there was a huge expat community. Like, the Lawrence Welk show was filmed vaguely near where he grew up. So
yeah. Oh, my grandmother loved watching Lorenzo, as she put it.
Naturally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, and his mother was, well, she was also a chemistry teacher. She also was a luthier. She had all of these, you know, plans and ways to fix stringed instruments all over the place. So
yeah,
wow, that's insane.
That makes it slightly more sane, but not by much.
I mean, also they lived on a dirt farm in rural nowhere.
Yeah,
so
we're in.
I didn't know they were from Ireland.
That's the part,
Seth,
that's insane.
Right. Right. And then famine struck, and we ate the harpsichord.
Yeah.
I had to take the harpsichord out behind the barn. And
now it's your harpsichord, Billy. This is your responsibility. We can't afford to cat gutted, or I don't know. It's different strings. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But my music professor.
Oh yes. Uh-huh. The origin of the story.
Yeah. Had one class every semester where he encouraged everybody. Like, anyway, you weren't required to, but bring in some piece of music, preferably popular music of some period post 1910.
Sure.
To like just briefly talk about to the class, and
the Rite of Spring. Everybody brought in the Rite of Spring.
Well, okay, so he knew Stravinsky, so I was estimating with 1910. Oh, okay. But so for instance, I brought in Jump. Velvet Underground, Sister Ray.
Okay.
Because specifically that song is almost entirely, it's like 16 and a half minutes long, and it's almost entirely an organ played through a fucking busted
Christ.
Amp.
Awful.
With sounds terrible.
Busted amp with all the distortion and gain turned up, and I put it on, and like after like 25 seconds he's like, you need to stop this. And I went, did you know what instrument that was? He goes, yeah, it was an organ, and I hate you.
Please leave this school.
Yeah. The reason that I brought this all up is because one kid brought in Eruption by Van Halen.
Oh, way back. Okay.
And
hate more is the question.
Well, he put it on and he just stood there with his arms crossed the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then like it ended and he turned it off and he was like, so why did you bring this in? And the kid went, because it was fucking Van Halen and you needed to hear it.
and then he whipped some shitties in his IROC in the parking lot. Oh, Christ. That's
something. Oh, boy.
Sounds like a cool dude. Yeah.